I was sharing with some people that y'all all just suddenly got quiet, and you know, that was weird, because by my watch, you still had 3 or 4 minutes to talk, and I just went over to talk to Jim and found out my watch is wrong. So you knew better than I did, but anyway, so welcome to our worship service this morning. I'm glad to welcome you, and we're glad to welcome visitors and guests, and hope you'll come back and worship with us again. Couple of announcements for you. Don't forget that music camp is coming very soon. We have a week until music camp, and register your kids, grandkids, neighbors, even if you act childish, you can come. No, anyway, we'd be glad to have you. Shannon wants to talk about Family Promise just a second. My favorite church, too. I've seen a couple of you with bags of groceries and just wanted to let you know that there's been a miscount. Yes, this is the fourth Sunday, but we thought next Sunday was the fourth Sunday, so probably we'll do the cart next Sunday. If you brought bags this week, just put them in the cart on your way out. With me? All right, great. Sarah, your turn. Hey, Sarah.
Yes.
Can you tell us where you got the job?
Yes. All right.
Okay.
At Pepsi.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Sarah. Other exciting news I will just mention to you. You may remember one of our seminary students, Tom Mitchell, who was here. Tom was ordained yesterday, and I got pictures because our very own Andrew Peak represented us down there and sent out pictures. And so congratulations to them as well. Let us prepare for our worship. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love.
Amen.
Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another. Eternal God, our Creator,
in you we live and move
and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we were still sinners, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. Amen.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. And defend us, gracious Lord.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Faithful God, most merciful Judge, you care for your children with firmness and compassion. By your Spirit, nurture us who live in your kingdom, that we may be rooted in the way of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
First readings from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let them proclaim it. Let them declare and set it forth before me. Who has announced from of old the things to come? Let them tell us what is yet to be. Do not fear or be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? There is no other rock. I know not one. The word of the Lord. Second lesson is from Romans. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing revealing of the children of God, for the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies, for in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it in patience. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Let anyone with ears listen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Once there was a pastor who was well known for his inspirational sermons. They touched the heart and revealed God in unique and powerful ways. Even more, his sermons were not like other pastors because they were unusually short. When he was asked about the length of his sermons, he replied, "Well, one Sunday I was delivering a sermon in my first congregation, and I became so carried away with the sound of my own voice that I didn't realize how restless the people were becoming until a small boy who had been squirming and fidgeting in the front pew caught my attention. I saw him tug at his mother's sleeve, and then in a voice that could be heard all over the church, he said, 'Mommy, are you sure this is the only way to get to heaven?'" Time is an important part of our lives. And in our gospel lesson today, Jesus tells a story that can be seen not from three different ways, but from three different times. Yesterday. We all have a past. And that past seems to creep into our here and now in lots of unexpected ways. And that's just how it was for the farmer in the parable that Jesus told. A man had a wheat field, Jesus said, and an enemy came at night when no one was looking and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. And then as the wheat grew, so did the weeds together with the wheat. And it is only then, after the plants are up and well along, that the malicious deed became known. And suddenly we have a farmer facing a very real threat because of something that had happened in the past. We don't know who the enemy is. We don't know why he is an enemy. But none of that is really so important. The threat to the crop is. It came from the past, and the threat is real. We know what that's like. We have indeed gone through our lives sowing our wild oats, and far too often for our tastes, the crops have borne fruit and borne it abundantly. Our pasts are full of things we remember and regret, things we wish we had never done, things we wish we could forget we had done. We remember events we are guilty for and words we wish we had never said. There are people we have hurt and people who have hurt us. And so very often, our past haunts us with ghostly images trudging through the halls of our memories and never letting us go. Yesterday. We all have a past, and that past seems to creep into our here and now in lots of unexpected ways. But the good news is that where we have sown weeds, God has sown wheat. Into our lives so in need of redemption, God has sent a Redeemer. There in our past, amid all our mess-ups and regrets, there stands the cross of Christ, overshadowing it all, redeeming all, wiping it clean, and making us new. Today, as soon as the servants reported the weeds in the field, the story moves from the past to the present. What's done is done. The question now is, what do we do? One option is to go into the fields and pull up the weeds. That's what most of us would do. But this farmer chose an unexpected strategy. He knew that the weeds and the wheat looked alike until late in the growing season, and that it would be easy to pull up the wrong plant. He also suspected that the roots of the plants were so entwined that pulling one would likely destroy the other one also. So his unexpected strategy was to wait. Let them grow together for now, he said. We know what that's like, too. Living in today's world can be a challenging thing. Often things don't seem to go the way we planned, and pretty quickly we learn that just about the only constant in life is that life is constantly changing. We live in a vague and ambiguous world, a world where morality and values seem to have been left behind or forgotten. When we look around, there's wheat to be seen, but there's an awful lot of weeds to be found as well. The parable describes this well. When you look at the world, Jesus says, it's like a field where weeds and wheat grow together, good and bad together. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. And sometimes it gets so tangled and entwined together that it's hard to distinguish. So in the face of this kind of world, God offers an unexpected strategy. Be patient, God says. Grow together for now. Fertilize the field so that the wheat grows strong in spite of the weeds. Today, Perhaps the most important thing for us to realize is that in this world of good and bad together, God never leaves us to battle the weeds alone. Tomorrow. Let them grow together for now, the farmer said, and then when it is time for the harvest, we will gather the weeds and burn them, and the wheat will go into my barn. The story is not finished. The harvest is yet to come. The farmer knew that at the harvest, the plants could be separated safely and with certainty. The wheat will be gathered in, the weeds will be destroyed. And that's true for us too. Our world may be vague and ambiguous. Our world may be full of pasts that haunt and nag at us, but God's harvest has yet to come. Our story isn't finished. We are God's wheat, and He will surely gather us into His arms tomorrow. God's harvest of love is coming. Yesterday, today, tomorrow. It's the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. It's the mystery of God's love. Amen.
Living together in trust and faith, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Faithful God, you gather your church in your embrace. Help us to love people as you have taught us. Help us to see people from all countries as your loved and precious children. And make us one in faithful witness as we walk in your truth. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, renew the life of your earth. All creation waits for the freedom it can only know through you. Cultivate in us an eager longing for your kingdom's fullness. Lord, in your mercy. Unifying God of the nations, you are the bridge in our divided world. Inspire a reconciling vision among the world's leaders and bring together people with different perspectives for the sake of the world's most vulnerable people. Lord, in your mercy. Redeeming God, embrace those who suffer. Give peace to all who are near death. Hope to those who are depressed, shelter to the homeless, and healing to the sick, especially those we name before you now. Lord, in your mercy. Hope-giving God, embolden our witness to your love. Send us out into the world with courageous hearts, persistence, and holy wisdom. Inspire us to tend to and delight in our children's faith. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us pray. Merciful God, you open wide your hand and satisfy the need of every living thing. You have set this feast before us. Open our hands to receive it. Open our hearts to embrace it. Open our lives to live it. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
He was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive
those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you have given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by these signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice. May we thirst for your way of peace. For you are Lord forevermore. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you. This one looks like it's still embers. There we go.